Welcome back to the SMY podcast and to the first episode of season 3. A big thanks to all our listeners. We have had more than 30,000 downloads since the podcast started 2 school years ago. Today, I'm happy to have a student co-host, Kaylin Nida, a senior and a member of our youth apprentice program, who's working in the district communication office to learn about communications and marketing. And our guest and topic of the episode, Mike Arndt, the newly appointed high school principal. Mike comes to South Milwaukee after the departure of former principal Brian Terry. He spent 17 years in education, has taught social studies, coached football and baseball, and was most recently the principal and athletic and activities director at Racine St. Catharines High School. He attended UW-Milwaukee for his bachelor's and master's degrees, and we're very happy to have him here on the podcast. Well, Principal Mike Arndt, welcome to the SMY podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dan.
So tell us a little bit about you. Where are you coming from? Where were you directly before this?
Yeah, so I was the principal at St. Catharines High School down in Racine for the last 4 years. Spent 7 years there in total as a athletic director, athletic activities director, and then became the principal right before COVID, actually. So it was a interesting transition year, to say the least. Anyways, so
what made you want to go into education?
Well, summer's off really it was the first part. Anybody who says that all teachers have summers off, they're never off. It really was, I actually had a teacher in high school that I had a great relationship that was like, I can be that history. Like, I enjoy history. I enjoy the stories, about that through history. So that started it. And then I went to school and started learning more and more and more. And it really, for me, everything is kind of about people and about learning their stories. So learning their individual stories. And as it goes back to that building relationships piece, the ability to coach too and stay involved and stay active in that. That was kind of at the time that I went into education, there were a lot of, like, you had to be a teacher in order to help get into coaching. And that was kind of the way I thought to stay involved in athletics, because it was a big part of who I was and what I wanted to do, honestly, like the story of how I became principal at the last school was the principal resigned with 2 weeks before the school year started. The assistant principal had left for a different job. Actually, he's over at Whitnall, which, we don't. Boo to Whitnall. Yeah, no Falcons. So he was gone, and I was the only administrator in the building that had a principal's license. So they came to me and said, hey, by the way, you're going to be the principal.
Really?
And so 2 weeks before the school year started, and that year I served as principal and athletic director, which I do not recommend for anybody out there. But it went well. It went well. The staff were great and really pitched in and helped in a lot of different ways. And I was able to hire a couple assistants around me that really helped out as well too. And it just became, it wasn't something I necessarily had thought of at the time, but for some reason the opportunity came up and I started to enjoy it because I started to be able to see bigger picture things that could be done and being able to be more active and involved. And you start to build those relationships with the staff members and put them in positions. And like I said, that genuine care piece is really treating people as people, like instead of as just simple resources, is such an important piece to leading anybody. Like if you're in charge of a group of people, they have to know that you care about them and you care about their well-being on not just a superficial level. And I think that's been pretty important to me, because even when I went into education, back to the original question, the relationships you build with people, I've been in former students' weddings. I've been invited to students' weddings, you know, players, and still have, you know, we'll text back and forth with people that I've coached and or taught. And, you know, it's that's the reward that comes out of education. That's the rewarding part of it, is just, again, the relationships with people, and to see them succeed and see them thrive in their life is really just has become my reason for education.
What in your mind is what's a good high school principal? What do they do?
Get out of the way let teachers do, you know, put people in good positions to do what is necessary to make sure they're providing the highest quality education for kids. Building relationships with staff members, building relationships with students, being visible, you know, within the community. At a private school or a public school, I think community relationships and how you build that is such an important piece to that. You know, really make sure that we're carrying on traditions and really put people, like I said, in good positions to be successful. So student success, teacher success leads to school success for the most part.
Sure. And I guess even from my own knowledge, just what is a principal's job, especially at the high school level? I can wrap my mind around elementary principals, but you have a much larger staff and some people that interact with parents and students a lot, but where does the principal role come in there?
Yeah, I mean, we're really there's a lot of facilitation. You know, there's a lot of planning that goes on, and most of it happens between June and August. And then once you get into the school year, it's continuing to carry through and follow through on those. You're a part HR, you're a counselor, you're a teacher, you're an administrator, you know, as far as an administrator, you're a helper, you can be a custodian at times, you can be, I mean, you literally could be in any capacity at any given time, which is actually part of education the reason I went into education is because no day is the same. Like every day is different, and you never know one day to the next what's going to happen. But you have to be organized and you have to plan, and when the plan goes not as expected, which happens quite often, you have to be able to adjust and you have to be able to make sure, but you're the leader of the building, but you're not the only person out in front of it. You got to bring everybody together. You got to make everyone collaborative. You got to bring student voice. You got to bring teacher voice into it, and everyone's got to get, your job is to really get everyone moving in the same direction with the vision of the school aligned to the mission, also taking into consideration, you know, the strategic plan of the district and the direction the district is going to, and trying to get everybody on that same page and moving in the same direction.
When did you actually start here?
I started July 1st, so it's been July 1st, then I was here for a couple weeks, and then I was gone and got married, and then came back, and so now all of a sudden it's August again, and we're school is teachers coming back in about 3 weeks, and so it's been a whirlwind.
Sure. Well, congratulations on getting married. Yeah. What have you learned about South Milwaukee High School so far?
There's a lot of great people. There's a lot of passionate people that work here. There's a lot of alumni that have come back. It's been very welcoming so far, coming, just the people that you meet, and just you can tell their passion and everything that they do here, and their love for South Milwaukee, the community. There's a lot of people that live in the community. They've had their kids go to school here or are currently going to school here. So you can really tell that there is a sense of pride within the school, and I think a real desire to make sure that the school is doing the best that they possibly can and is providing the best education to all the kids and is a great place to work. And I've gotten a lot of that in all the conversations that I have, as I've talked to different teachers, we've interviewed obviously a few new teachers, and that's just the sentiment that everybody conveys, is that it's a great place to work, it's a great place to live, it's a great place to be. Mm. And I think they feel like they get to be here.
Sure. Besides Kaylin, have you met any other students yet?
I've met a handful of students and names, some of the names, but I have met a handful of students that have been, some of them are working in the summer, helping out the janitorial, helping out the custodial staff. I've met a few students that have been in summer school, and then get some of the athletes in here that are working out in the community, in the center. So, everyone's been, like I said, great, very welcoming. It's getting interesting to start meeting, and that's kind of what my excitement is now. It's like, all right, I'm not totally ready for school, but I'm ready to start seeing kids come back in with sports starting, next week. I think that's going to be a great opportunity to start meeting more and more students.
Yeah, and because you're very focused with sports and our school is very focused with sports, how do you think you can relate to the students with that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I coached... Being an athletic director, I also coached baseball for 16 years, and I was a football coach for 9 years, and I officiate football and wrestling too. So I've actually been in the school multiple times before that. Our football crew ref the first game on the new black turf out there. So,
really?
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
So, well, yeah, lights went out, but we had a little delay.
There,
yeah, we had a little delay, but yeah, so it was. But you can really see that was another part of that sense of community too. Sports, it's all part of the experience. So like for me, students who are active and involved and get the most out of their school when they're involved in things, whether it's athletics or activities. I was a three sport person, but I also was, on the math team. I also did, Model UN, and I was always active and involved, and I think that part of it is super important in terms of the whole school and the approach, the whole student experience, I should say, because the experience that students have is so important. So what makes you want to come back to school every day? You have something to look forward to. You have a relationship with a teacher, a coach, a friend that keeps you coming back, and that engagement is so important. There's nothing better than a packed stands on a Friday night for a football game or a volleyball match, or you go to a basketball game or a wrestling match or baseball. You pack all these different places, and the students are so involved, they're so energized, and that energy carries into the school. So that's such an important part of it. And when you find success in those areas, you can start to see that translate into a more vibrant school setting. You can feel that energy as it rolls through the school. So it's a very important part to me because I did it, I live it. It's part of what I do. Mm. But it is so vitally important to just school success as a whole, the school environment as a whole.
Sure. This is kind of a philosophical question, but what is a high schooler? Who is the quote high school student?
Honestly, they're everybody's different. I mean, I think that's the great part about it. And one of the biggest things for me is building relationships with all different types of students. There are students who are just going to be students. There are students who are going to be student athletes. There's going to be students involved in plays and musicals. There's going to be students that are going to be involved in other activities. And there are students who are going to go on to 4-year universities or 2-year schools or tech or trades or anything else like that. But all of their differences is what makes them really unique and really fun to get to know. Like that's the best thing for me is all about relationships and building those relationships with people, because the more you start to learn about people, and their backgrounds and their history, you know, their heritage and where they're coming from. And the more amazing it is to see how they grow and develop throughout that. So students, you know, they come in and they come in as freshmen and they're wide-eyed and it's like, holy cow, they're in this huge building and there's this senior who's towering over the top of you, you know. But as they go through that and you see that maturity and the growth and development, it's really amazing to see. And then the ability to hand them a diploma as they walk across the stage 4 years later and see that, and then follow them beyond, you know, school, beyond high school into college and into their lives, is really kind of an amazing journey to see that. But everyone is just so different, and that's what makes it really great to me.
Hmm. And that's a lot to sculpt, you know, a set of expectations around everybody being so different. Do you have a philosophy for that? And the idea that you are given this group of individuals who are on the cusp of adulthood, and how you take them from that wide-eyed freshman to a graduating senior.
Yeah, I mean, it is really, I think you have to really focus on finding supports that are going to be successful for all students, you know, for everybody. You have to be able to set up classes and schedules and find those combinations for certain individuals that will connect, and providing opportunities for them, like providing as many opportunities as possible. You know, there's some great things that happen here through apprenticeship programs, through dual credit programs, through opportunities, like providing opportunities for students to have life experiences, because that's how you learn. That's how you're best when you're able to be active, and you learn what you like and you don't like. You know, you go and find a job, the first job you have, you might like, no, there's no way I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. So you start and you find your way. And really, I guess, overall, the job of the high school principal or administrator is to make sure that students have as many opportunities to experience as many different pathways as possible, so that they can find their way, so that when they do get to that senior year, they kind of have an idea of like, this is something that I would really like to do or like to learn more about. And they have that energy and they have that passion for whatever it is that they've found.
Mm. So finding that self-motivation.
Right.
Finding, giving them those opportunities.
Right.
Did you have another question? No. So what could students expect to when they see you in the hall? What are they going to, when they see Mr. Arndt, what are they going to say?
Well, hopefully they say hi, at least anyways, or respond. Like if I say hi to them, that they respond back, you know, and they're not looking at their phone or what anything else. But no, it's going to be, I'm going to try and learn names as quickly as possible. And so it's always about personalization and genuine care. I mean, that's the one thing for me. Like, I want people to know that I genuinely care about them. You know, and for parents listening, we care about each and every student that walks through our doors, and we want them here every day, that we're having school, that we're going to take care of them, that we're going to educate them, that we're going to provide opportunities for them, that they're going to be safe in this building. They're going to have fun, right? They're going to get that sense of pride that's going on within the school, and they're going to have all of these great opportunities. But I'm a personal person. Like, I mean, I'm going to come up, I might shake their hand, I might, you know, tap them on the shoulder, I might, you know, it's going to be, but I'm going to say hi, we're going to welcome people, you know, we still hold those high expectations, but we also want to make this an environment where people feel like they get to come to school here, and it's a great place to be.
So I did actually speak to a couple of students, asking them, like, different questions that they would like to ask you. Mm-hmm. And a few of them wanted to know the possible changes that might be happening to the school within the next year. Or if you have thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've thought a lot. I mean, honestly, right now, it's a lot of taking in information and getting a lot of information, just like trying to absorb as much as possible. Because one thing that I'm not quick to react to things. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to, I'm very intentional and very strategic on things. One thing that I will say is that we are going to start what's called, it's a leadership academy. We don't exactly have a name for it right now, but we're going to have, so students are actually going to work together and they'll have a direct line to me in terms of trying to find students from all different areas, athletic kids and kids in activities and high academic kids, and you find middle ground academic kids, and you have wide variety of students that create this student voice that goes right back to the administrator. But we're also going to be working on building and developing student leaders through this leadership academy. So one of the things that's important to me is that students really take ownership of the building itself. So they get to have a voice, and some things we'll be able to do, and some things I'll have to say, I'm like, how about this way instead? But it's important for me that students have that type of ownership within the school, because it's really their building. It's what we're here to facilitate certain things, but it's really your school. As a student, it's your school, and we're here to guide and make sure that, everyone here is safe and is getting the best education. But that's probably one of the things that you'll see. And those students then can start driving some of those decisions on certain changes and certain things that way. But that's one right now that that we've talked about and that we're going to make sure that happens, because, like I said, that's just such an important piece. Other than that, there you could see a few nuanced changes here and there, but I don't know as far as total overhauls of things like that. I need to be able to get in and see and work with the other administrators and making sure that what we do is always going to come back to what's in the best interest of students, and the school as a whole. And so when we take in all that information, we make those decisions and we get teacher voice and we get student voice. And that's kind of how I operate.
How about parents? How do you see yourself interacting and communicating with parents?
Yeah. So for us, communication is a huge part. And I don't think you can ever necessarily over communicate, and that's always going to be the something that people say is like, that's always the criticism, no matter where you go. It's like, we don't communicate enough necessarily. For us, so we send out communications at my previous schools. We've always had what are called weekly rundowns that go out to parents and community members, updating them and just on things that are going on in the school and trying to send reminders about, okay, seniors, your scholarship applications are due, or FAFSA is opening up, or you'll get this kind of the counselor's area, but then you also get information about, hey, homecoming's on the horizon. Hey, here's how you get your tickets. Here's information about the dance. Here's some of the themes for the week. Here's, this event that's going on. It's important that we try to engage parents as much as possible. The more parent involvement we get, we have to be partners, mm-hmm. And so transparency with what we're doing in the school to the families is such an important piece. Transparency to everybody, teachers, students, families, all the stakeholders within the community, such an important piece of being a successful school community. So you're going to see communications coming out from the school to parents. So make sure you check your emails. And if you don't have your emails updated in an infinite campus, get all that stuff in there. But, we're working district-wide on a new platform to make sure communications get out there. That'll include a text feature, and so, which I think a lot of people will be happy about. But it's all about transparency, and really if people want to have the need or desire and want to come in and sit down and talk, we can definitely do that. And I think a lot of what we're going to try to do some focus groups and try and create some parent committees to give them a voice in some things and that they've seen and that they have experienced, because that's also an important piece for us too.
I know that a question hanging out there, probably on parents and definitely on students' minds, is if you Google you, the news coverage of what you did your last school with cell phones came up. I'm sure people are wondering, are we doing anything different this year with students and cell phones?
This year, we will not be doing anything different in terms of cell phones, which is probably what the initial question might have been about. But, yeah. No, we're not doing anything different this year in terms of cell phones. They've got the caddies in the classrooms. Just teacher expectations about making sure that we're doing that. The biggest thing about the cell phones and why we went the way we went there with the Yonder pouches was it became distracting, and it was just a huge distraction in the classroom. And the engagement of kids is such an important piece. So, students, you need to be able to pay attention to be able to learn things. And honestly, one of the biggest things when we implemented it, it was like watching 500 kids go through withdrawals. Mm-hmm. Like they're holding on to these pouches and they're like literally like they're babies. But after a while, it becomes ingrained. And we saw failure rates go down, and we saw engagement in classrooms go up, and we saw all of these positives, the social, emotional, the mental health pieces even going down, because you're not checking Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever else, you know, other platforms that are out there. And so that engagement came up quite a bit. But there's a lot of different ways to go about things. So we just evaluate kind of what's going on here, because each school is different and each community is different. So we evaluate and kind of see what's going on in classrooms here and the engagement levels in classrooms, and making sure teachers are doing everything that they can to keep kids engaged and active in what they're, in those classes. And, it's a 47-minute class, and we want to make sure that we utilize every second of that class to do the best we can to prepare students for what comes next in life.
Sure. I don't know if this is a fair question to ask you yet, only being here a month, but I know a lot of parents were, there's a lot of debate over the bathroom policy and vaping and other things. If you had a chance to look into that, and do you have thoughts on it?
Yeah. So one of the other things that we did is we invested in vape detectors. Because it's an issue everywhere. It came up, and other students that have talked to me about that, what is one of the bigger issues among students, it is that. It is vaping, and I know there's some overcrowding in bathrooms, so there's avenues that we've looked into. We haven't, trying to understand, and we've done some I know that they've done some camera upgrades and things of that nature in the hallways to really take a look at the ability to kind of track and monitor people. We are going to use an electronic hall pass system this year, which is it's actually a safety measure, so that in the event of a fire drill or something happens, tornado drill, you know what students are out and where, which locations they're in, so you can make sure that they get to a safe location. But also monitors the amount of times kids are in classes, or who's going from this place to this place, or if we do have a vaping issue, that we are able to hold people accountable to that. Because I think accountability is one of the things that I try to stress to everybody. Teachers are, holding teachers accountable, holding students accountable, myself accountable. There's just a lot of, health related things around that, that I think students aren't aware of, parents aren't aware of. I don't think teachers sometimes know all the differences that are related to some of those, some of the vaping issues. But those are some things that we've talked about and looked into a little bit. We don't have any specifics or specific answers on that, but it is kind of an important It is a topic that's come up through the course of even when I interviewed for the position. So, mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I know that's a tough one, especially just starting. But again, at the end of the last school year, that was pretty high mm-hmm. on people's minds. So yeah. I appreciate that. And then, like you said, if things change or something needs to be communicated, you're planning on increasing that communication.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will get our first information out about just the back to school, the open house nights, everything, all of that information. Incoming freshmen, their orientation day coming up here towards the end of the month. So we've got a lot of important information that hopefully everyone is checking emails and getting that information, or coming to the website and checking out everything that we have to communicate to them. But anything that we do, like I said, transparency is so big. We're not here to hide anything. We're going to make decisions that are in the best interest of all the students and the school and the community as a whole. So, but anything that we do or change, we'll definitely get a communication out to everybody.
And not related to you being new here, but is there anything that parents need to know about the year and how things might be a little bit different from next year?
This year for me is going to be, like I said, it's going to be a lot of taking in information and making decisions. And I think we've got a lot of good things in place moving forward. I know they've had a schedule change back to the 8-period day this year. I think you're going to see some things in terms of some of the early release time and how we're going to utilize that a little bit differently, for students, student benefit during those early release days and those times when those classes sometimes seem pretty short. What they're going to see is they're going to see a school that is dedicated with to enhancing the student experience here, from academics to athletics to activities, and really making it a whole school, building this whole school culture around just the pride of being here and what it means to be here, and acknowledging all of the great things that everybody does here, and everybody contributes to that success. I think we're going to move forward in making sure that we support all of our students, from the top of the AP students to the students who may need more academic help, for whatever reasons, that they may need that. But they're going to have support here. They're going to have a place to come where they're going to feel welcomed, and they're going to feel like they belong here, and they're going to have that sense of belonging throughout that. And I think that's what everyone is going to, hopefully that's what everyone feels when they come through and walk through the building, and they're going to be able to feel that energy as mm-hmm. that goes. So,
time for some personal questions.
Yeah.
Favorite baseball team?
Brewers.
Favorite football team?
Packers. My family has been season ticket holders since the 60s. I actually grew up in the Green Bay area, so yeah, it's Packers here. So
you're wearing a Wisconsin shirt. You went to college? Is that where you went to college?
I went to school at UWM, but Badger fan in terms of football and basketball. Actually, a former student is on the basketball team there, so He hooks me up with tickets every once in a while, so it's pretty good that way. It's a nice little connection to have, and he's a great kid, so it's great. Those are some of the relationships that are awesome to be able to continue moving forward.
What do you do when you're not working?
When I'm not working, I'm either something on the water, golfing, spending time with family. I've got twin 9-year-olds now. Sorry, they just turned 9. So they're twin 9-year-olds, a boy and a girl. Like I said, just got married actually in Jamaica. Would be 2 weeks tomorrow. So 2 weeks ago tomorrow. So a lot of exciting things happening. There's never a dull moment. We'll just say that much. But we're always pretty active. Love to go to concerts. Country fan. It's a hit or miss with some people, but yeah, that's kind of where where I'm at with that, but love to go to just live music and concerts and just some of the festivals and things like that that are all, it's just a lot of fun to be at. And like I said, it's that energy. It's just that fun-loving kind of nature of everything.
Hmm. Most surprising thing about South Milwaukee so far?
Wow.
Did you see the Sasquatch?
I heard about the Sasquatch. I wasn't aware that there was a connection between a Sasquatch and but yeah, the Heritage Day stuff. I think the most surprising, and it's not really necessarily a surprise, but I think you're just always surprised by just the willingness of everyone to just contribute and help out and welcome you and make sure that you have what you need. You know, like I said, for me, for being out for, you know, 9 days, you know, that the ability for other people to step up is always appreciated. It's not necessarily a surprise, but it is something that I really think that it's greatly appreciated that way, you know. So I did hear that Sasquatch had rode in the parade. He didn't even walk the parade, yeah, though, so I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, that's what... I don't know.
Got to get those steps in.
We're going to have to work on that. You know, maybe we'll get them into the fitness center and we'll see and have them walk around, you know, get on the treadmill. Yeah.
I don't know if you can do it barefoot.
Yeah. We might have to give them some of those socks that you got to wear when you're walking through a house.
Yeah. And introduce them to Ronnie Rocket.
There you go. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, Mike, Arndt, thank you so much for being on the SMI podcast. We appreciate taking the time to introduce yourself.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Good luck this year.
Yeah, go Rockets.
That's the end of the first episode of Season 3. It's going to be an exciting school year for so many reasons, but I'll give you one that you can look at right now. If you haven't seen it, check out our latest update from Superintendent Deidre Raymer on our district homepage. She recorded it in one of our 4 STEM labs, refurbished classrooms in our elementary schools, paid for by the safe, supported, and successful referendum passed in the spring. It's pretty amazing. We have dedicated teachers for those rooms to teach how science, technology, engineering, and math come together to solve problems, and what careers are out there that use those skills to make life better for all of us. Remember, too, that school starts on September 3rd. Thanks to the feedback on a parent survey, we have a new start time, 8:15 a.m., and an end time, 3:20 p.m., for our elementary schools. Enjoy these last few weeks of summer. Remember to subscribe to this podcast to stay on top of changes locally and statewide in education. Our next episode will be out in 2 weeks.